everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster program. Wednesday, midweek edition. It's May 10th, 2017. The snow, 1 to 3 inches up on Mount Lemmon. The most accumulation of snow up on the mountain this late in the year, in 22 years. So that's pretty amazing that the temperature could have been 100 degrees like less than a week ago, and then snow on Mount Lemmon. The Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening that's available for you. A couple of places, my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course, kvoi.com. And if you miss a portion of the program, we've always got all of our podcasts, and we archive the program at buckmastershow.com. That's available for you 24/7 on your schedule to listen to the program. Our comment line, the live line number for the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040 for your calls and comments. We invite you to give us a call if there's something during any time during the program that you would like to enhance our conversation with. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. She is also a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and she is the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, Victoria Mazes, that's MAIZESMD.com, and you can follow her at Twitter at Dr. Mazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you, Bill?
Doing very well. How did the conference go, the annual nutrition conference sponsored by the Center for Integrative Medicine?
It was a terrific conference, and I thought it would be nice to share some of the information that came out of the conference with your listeners.
What are some of the things that, what were the takeaway messages concerning nutrition at the conference?
Well, there continues to be so much active research, and we had the chance to think about nutrition and brain health. We had a chance to think about some of the new genetic markers that are being done to take a look at people's rate of metabolism. For example, do you metabolize coffee quickly or slowly? We had a chance to talk about different kinds of fats and their nutritional value, whether animal protein or vegetable protein is better for you and what the data behind that. So really a very broad array of topics.
When it comes to reducing the risk of Alzheimer's disease, are there some things that we should keep in mind when we look at our dietary habits?
Absolutely. Alzheimer's disease is very common. Up to 4% of people will have it by their mid-60s, somewhat in the range of 20% when they're in their mid-70s to 80s. And if you're over 85, almost 50% of people may have Alzheimer's. And so this is a common disease. It's one that most of us want to do everything in our power to avoid. And the good news is that you can actually make a variety of choices, from your diet to the way you exercise to how you manage your stress, to avoiding certain medications to reduce your risk of developing Alzheimer's.
Let's dive deep into that a little bit here, Dr. Mazes. Let's get begin with some of the foods that perhaps would be useful in warding off Alzheimer's.
Okay, so we had a really wonderful speaker, Dr. Fran Grodstein, who's done extensive research in this area. She's from Harvard Medical School. And she pointed to a number of foods that have been studied and found to reduce the risk, and also to some dietary patterns. So one of the studies that she pointed to is called the MAP study, which is a memory and aging aging program, and they actually looked at 1,200 people who live in Chicago in retirement communities, and they were able to do autopsies, actually, on people's brains after they died to better understand the impact of various foods. So one thing that they found in their study was at least one fish meal a week was associated with better memory.
One fish serving then a week would do it. And does that have to be any particular type of fish?
Well, that wasn't clear from that study, although as we have talked about over the years, fish that are rich in the omega-3 fatty acids are always a good idea in terms of a vast number of other things that we're thinking about, heart disease prevention and preventing inflammation. So it seemed that any kind of fish was important in this study. And interestingly enough, they also looked at, well, what about the mercury? We worry about mercury and whether that could increase the risk of some kind of cognitive problem, or it could be neurodegenerative in some ways. And it turned out, again, in these there were 544 people, they did autopsies on almost 300 after they passed away, and mercury was not a problem. So higher brain concentrations of mercury didn't correlate with higher levels of Alzheimer's, and that just may be that all of the beneficial characteristics of the fish, the omega-3, the iodine, the choline, the other nutrients outweighed the risk of there being some mercury.
Before we get back to the direct food groups, as an aside to the fish, the supplement, of course, the omega-3 supplements, how would that play a role, Dr. Mazes, in
this? Our evidence is not as good for omega-3 supplements as it is for fish. And so it's definitely a good idea for people to consume fish. And fish, we say it's brain food. some people like to avoid fish, vegetarians and vegans. Some people just don't care for the taste of fish. And I think in those groups of people, going with a fish oil supplement could definitely be a good idea. And you may eat fish and still take a fish oil supplement, but fish is what has been shown to be most effective.
How about fruits and vegetables? This is something we have been hearing about since kids.
Yes, so fruits and vegetables are definitely good for you. In these studies, however, fruits had a relatively neutral effect, except for berries. I'll get back to berries in a minute. It was vegetables, and green leafy vegetables in particular, that really made the difference in terms of preventing the development of Alzheimer's. Ideally, 3 to 4 servings of vegetables per day. So a fair amount of vegetables. Fruit wasn't bad for you, but it wasn't really what led to the reduction in risk.
And vegetables are certainly not something you're going to pack on a lot of weight with. So if you're thinking of weight reduction, and maybe forget the potatoes, but do an extra helping of vegetables. At least that's what I've been doing lately.
Yes, very wise, and very wise to point out that while potatoes are a vegetable, that's not the kind of vegetable we're talking about. We're really talking about green leafy vegetables, cruciferous vegetables, not the starchy ones.
790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation, give us a call right now. With my morning oatmeal, Dr. Mazes, I have been putting a serving of blueberries on my oatmeal. Is that a good choice?
Yes, you're right on target. So good. Berries, and in particular blueberries, are very rich in anthocyanins, which is this kind of flavonoid that actually can cross what's called the blood-brain barrier. So a lot of things that we eat in our diet don't actually get into our brains, but this particular chemical compound, the anthocyanins, can cross that blood-brain barrier, and it gets into a part of the brain called the hippocampus. And the hippocampus is the part of the brain that controls memory. Here, it was one serving a week of blueberry that lowered the decline in cognitive function. So vegetables, we said 3 to 4 servings a day, and berries, it's one serving a week. Strawberries were good too, but the effects were more modest than blueberries.
Well, I'm ahead of the curve doing blueberries every day there. Let's go to the live line. Kay would like to join in our conversation today. Kay, you're with Dr. Mazes.
Yes, good morning. Hi. Oh, no, good afternoon.
Yes, that's okay.
I have a question in regards to eczema, or however you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. I called when Dr. Weil was on, and he suggested that individuals that have that particular problem in their life should stay away from cow's milk. Hmm. But can you please tell me what you can substitute for that?
Okay.
So that's a little off of our topic today.
A little bit, but we'll get back. We'll get back to that. But go ahead with your question. All right.
I'm happy to address it.
All right.
I think that what Dr. Weil advised you is good advice. That's what we call an elimination diet. And elimination diets are a way of investigating whether a particular food that you may be eating could be causing symptoms. The most common foods that could cause a symptom like eczema would be dairy, so that's avoiding the milk, gluten, all of the different grains like wheat and rye and barley that are gluten-containing, and there's also a lot of other kind of hidden places of gluten in the diet, so it's worth looking that up on the internet and paying attention to the various places it shows up. Also, corn, citrus, soy, and eggs. Those are the six most common things. So avoiding those. There are a lot of milk substitutes. For a child, you want to be very careful because milk is rich in protein, and the only milk substitute that has an equal amount of protein would be soy milk. But for an adult who is probably getting plenty of protein in a variety of places, you could substitute any milk you find tasty. That could be almond milk or cashew milk. You could make those milks yourselves, or you could buy them in the store. I mentioned soy milk, rice milk. There are a lot of different substitutes. They just tend to be lower in protein than cow's milk.
All right. Dr. Mays is a good sport in answering a question there, not on our particular topic, but all questions related to health are always welcome when Dr. Mays is with us. We will resume, though, talking about ways foods to reduce the risk of Alzheimer's. What about nuts? That will be my first area to explore with Dr. Mazes when we continue after our first break. Be right back. The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up on Thursday on the Buckmaster Show, we'll talk with congressional candidate Bruce Wheeler. Mr. Wheeler is hoping to unseat Representative Martha McSally. Also, former superintendent and the Flowing Wells School District, Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Buckmaster contributor on education. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and we're honored once a month to have our contributor on health with us, Dr. Victoria Mazes, the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. We've been talking with Dr. Mazes about foods to help reduce the risk of Alzheimer's. We touched on certainly fish is a big one, fruits and vegetables, blueberries, one serving a week. I've been doing a little better than that, and have gotten so it's become a part of my morning routine on the oatmeal. But Dr. Mazes, what about nuts? Are they something we might want to include in our diet?
Absolutely. I mean, it's sort of funny because if you look at a walnut, it almost looks like a little brain, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
It turns out that 5 or more servings per week of nuts, so essentially a serving a day, showed benefit in people's global memory. Nuts just keep looking better and better. The research on them shows that they're part of the strategy for people to lose weight, which, you know, we used to say don't eat nuts because mm-hmm. they're fattening, but in several large studies now, we've been able to show that actually they can help people reduce their weight. There are studies that show, the PREDIMED study shows that it reduces the risk of heart disease, and now it looks like it reduces the likelihood of developing Alzheimer's in the nurses' health study. So that's really good news for nuts and deserves to be on your list.
And again, now when you do the nuts, are you talking like roughly with a mixed nut, like a handful, or give us
That's
some
exactly
idea?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. A little handful of nuts is a serving of nuts. Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's a serving. Mm-hmm. What about mushrooms? Some interesting research being done on mushrooms helping prevent cognitive decline.
Yes, so this research was published just about 6 months ago, and fascinating. It looked at a particular kind of mushroom called lion's mane mushroom. The Latin name for that is hericium, and it was found actually to improve mild cognitive impairment. Now, we have very few things that can improve cognitive impairment or Alzheimer's once it's really progressing. That's why prevention and following these dietary strategies is so important. But it did look like, and this was a study in mice, not in people. All the other studies we've been talking about today have been in people. Mm-hmm. So we need more data, but it might be a good reason to include lion's mane either in your soups or perhaps as a supplement.
790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. We've talked a lot over the years about the Mediterranean diet. For those that aren't familiar with it, what is it?
Well, it's a way of eating, an eating pattern. We instead of talking about specific foods, we're talking about the diet as a whole, and it's usually followed by people who eat and who live in the Mediterranean region. And so, whether that's Spain or Italy, and it involves eating more of certain things and less of others. So the things people eat more of is more olive oil. Those are olive producing regions, and they include a lot of olive oil in their diet, and that ends up having particular health benefits. It also has lots of vegetables, some fruit. It does include some dairy, but as yogurt or cheeses as opposed to as milk, legumes, whole grains, so not things that are made from flour, but really more the whole grains. And then it, and some red wine. Most people like that part of the Mediterranean diet. And then it reduces things, like it reduces the amount of meat people eat, as an example.
Let's go to the live line, and this one is on topic. Lauren talking about nuts. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yes, sir. I'll make it brief. I understand hazelnuts, almonds, pecans are really on target, but what about peanuts? I've heard that they don't qualify.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a great question. The first nuts you mentioned are tree nuts, and peanuts are actually a legume. So even though at the end it says nut, it's quite different. But it turns out that peanuts also have a fair number of health benefits. The tree nuts may be a little better. The only nut I would say doesn't count are donuts.
And I actually have to admit I found one over at Whole Foods that was a vegan donut with that only had 150 calories, and it was darn good. But that's about the
That didn't count for your Alzheimer's prevention program.
Thank you very much. But I just made that reveal. I had to break away and tell you about that. How about exercise? We talk a lot about walking. I do it, and I encourage everybody to do it.
Yes, well, exercise is one of the best things we can do to enhance our longevity and our healthy longevity. So, you know, I think most of us would say if we were 95 but we didn't know who our loved ones were and we couldn't remember our lives, that wouldn't be so great. So exercise is great for prolonging longevity. It also can lower the risk of Alzheimer's by up to 50%. And so it is really beneficial. I mentioned earlier that it's hard to find things that reduce the risk once you're already in the process of developing Alzheimer's, but exercise is another one of those things.
How about sleep? Enough sleep. We hear 8 hours seems to be the optimum. What do you know about that?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. We used to like be very unclear, why is it that people need sleep? Mm-hmm. And now, over time, physiologists have come to the agreement that sleep serves a variety of purposes. It helps us consolidate memories, which is going to be very important if we're not going to lose our memory as we do gradually with Alzheimer's disease. It helps regulate our metabolism and the immune system. But the more recent findings have discovered that during sleep, our brain actually disposes of the trash.
Huh.
There's a system in the brain called the glymphatic system, and it requires a lot of energy, and essentially it works while we're sleeping. It's sort of like if you had a robotic vacuum that you set to work while you are away from home during your work day. This is what our brains do. At night, while we're sleeping, our brains aren't as busy. The glymphatic system moves into process, and it removes waste, including beta amyloid, which is one of the things that causes Alzheimer's.
Huh, it's like our computer where we put all that trash and then we hit it and delete all of that.
That's exactly right. Another metaphor for what's happening. So that beta amyloid is not something we want to accumulate in our brains. And so getting a good night's sleep is important. The exact number of hours is going to vary a bit from person to person. And it's been said to be somewhere between 7 and 8.5 hours. Many people don't get that.
No, they don't. Any link between certain medications and cognitive decline?
Yes, so I'm really glad you brought that up because, you know, there are things that we really have control over, and a lot of what we've talked about today is lifestyle. We didn't mention not smoking. If you smoke, you're at double the risk of developing Alzheimer's, so not smoking is important. But for sure, there are medicines, some of which could be avoided, and they fit into this category that are called anticholinergic.
Huh.
The most common anticholinergic medicine that people take are are actually medicines that are used for allergies.
Huh.
And so we really want to pay attention to what medicines are we taking and how long are we taking them for. So a medicine that we may think of as very innocent, like Benadryl, people sometimes use that to help them sleep. It's an anti-allergy medicine, but it's also an anticholinergic, and it appears that it increases the risk for dementia. Some of our antidepressant medicines are also anticholinergic, and so we want to pay attention to those as well.
And we had a question off the air about where people can get your book. Is it in paperback now, the book about fertility?
Yes, it is in paperback, and it's available in bookstores and on Amazon. And also the second edition of Integrative Women's Health is in paperback and also available at all kinds of places.
All right. And we can learn more about you at victoriamazesmd.com and, of course, Twitter, Dr. Mazes, and the Center for Integrative Medicine has a very nice website that is just loaded with good information, correct?
Yes, it is, and we're always interested in knowing how we could better serve the people who come and take a look at it. So feedback welcomed.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mazes. We'll talk to you next month. Thanks.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
This is T. Van Hook, CEO of Habitat for Humanity Tucson. Are you or someone you know ready to purchase a safe, affordable home? We are currently seeking individuals and families to become the owners of new and refurbished homes in the greater Tucson area. At Habitat Tucson, we believe that everyone deserves a decent, affordable place to call home. For information, visit us at habitattucson.org or call us at 326-1217. Habitat Tucson is an equal housing opportunity provider.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Back to the Buckmaster Show. It is our midweek edition. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, and we live stream our show, KVOI.com, and of course on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. This portion of the program brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's a pleasant drive. It's only about 3 hours over to Silver City. They've got a huge Memorial Day weekend coming up. This is the 22nd annual Silver City Blues Festival. We send so many Buckmaster Show listeners over to Silver City throughout the year, but this will give you an extra reason to go over there if you enjoy the blues, and a lot of people do. Check out southwestnewmexico.org. That has the full listing of the many great places to stay and the many things to do, even beside the Blues Festival. There's a lot to do over there. And coming up this weekend, hard to believe, it is Letter Carrier Food Drive again, and it happens every year in May, and this is the 25th year for the annual Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive that benefits the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. Lou Medrin is with me. Lou is the Public Relations Manager for the Community Food Bank. Lou, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I do love that Silver City Blues Festival.
You do, yeah. They've got some great entertainment that comes in from all over the United States for this, so we do encourage people. You've enjoyed the blues for years, haven't
you? Oh, heck yeah. I used to travel all over the place to catch a blues festival with that one so nearby. Yeah. That one's fun.
Yep, that is a fun one. This is going to be a fun event, and an important event. This is one of your kind of signature events for the Community Food Bank.
It really is. It's actually the largest food drive of the year. It's the largest one probably all across the country for each food bank. We anticipate trying to collect about 300,000 pounds of food, 150 tons basically. And then we have a really good campaign in terms of monetary donations. We're trying to get about $100,000. I think we'll hit it, because last year we had just dropped a little short. We hit about 255,000 pounds. So it's just such a critical time to have a food drive like this heading into summer.
And I know for a fact that the postal carriers, my wonderful carrier, Joe, who's been with us for many years, he's all in on this. And I know his colleagues are well. This is something they really love to do.
Yeah, the National Association of Letter Carriers are just phenomenal by doing this for us. They go out there. It's a long, hard day for them.
It is. delivering the mail is not an easy task anyway, but then you throw in the element of bags of food items.
Yeah, and they got to run back and forth, because if it fills up, they got to come back and then run back out, and they usually don't do that.
But they do it because they really understand how important this is.
Yeah, they realize it's a huge drive for us.
And so last year you brought in a lot of tonnage, didn't you? A lot of pounds.
255,000 pounds last year. It was just slightly down, but this year we expect to jump right back up to about 300,000 pounds.
Obvious question the listeners are wondering, Lou, what would be appropriate to give to you all?
So it's best to do non-perishable food items that day, because it's probably going to be about 97 degrees that day.
Yeah. Couldn't it be today?
it'd be awesome today.
65 degrees or whatever it is. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
But peanut butter, cereal and granola bars, canned tomato products, any of the canned meats, canned soups, canned vegetables, rice, pasta, beans, all those types of things. If they can just avoid giving us anything in glass containers, because there's so much food coming in, it could break. No sodas. Candy bars don't do well in the heat. They'll melt. So just the non-perishable food items that are probably the standard thing that we usually ask for most of our food drives.
What if someone doesn't, or that perhaps they would like to add a monetary donation, or maybe a monetary donation, Lou, in lieu of a food bag?
Sure, they can do an online donation at communityfoodbank.org. But also, we've sent out a mailing that's got envelopes in there. So if you want to just put a couple checks in the envelope and drop it in the food box, all that stuff comes back, gets sorted through before it gets put into the truck. So we find a lot of checks in those bags for us. That's really good. But a lot of folks just mail in their donation as well as the online.
What is the buying power of, say, even just $1 donated to you?
Well, for every dollar that we collect, we can distribute 4 meals. So it multiplies really quickly as the dollars come in. And we have such good buying power because we have to buy in so much bulk that we could get really good prices. But, you know, that dollar really, really does go a long way at the Community Food Bank.
I like the idea that you have this drive in May because I know things get rather lean in the summer at the Community Food Bank. People are not, they're busy with vacation plans. And, you know, we think a lot about the food bank at the holiday season. We want to help out others. But this comes at a good time, doesn't it?
It comes at a perfect time because it's going right into summer as the school lets out and the kids go home. And now mom and dad are having to come up with that lunch meal or the extra snacks during the day that they normally didn't have to provide for. Probably over 70% of the kids just in the Tucson Unified School District are on a free or reduced lunch program. So we always see a spike in the summer because of the family issues. Plus, you know, even electric bills go up because of air conditioning. So all of a sudden that starts to cut into budgets. So yeah, this is a great time. It gets us through about September, which then we can start looking forward to the food drives for the holiday season.
Let's give an overall picture of how the food bank is doing right now. How many people are you serving, Lou Medrin, in Southern Arizona right now?
Well, right now we're probably serving over 207,000 folks throughout Southern Arizona.
At one time, during what you judge that by a week or
throughout the year, those recurring families, 207 families and individuals.
That's a lot.
That's a tremendous amount of people. I mean, we still have, you know, we're still ranked in the top 10 of highest rate of poverty in the country for a city our size. So it is still stressful for a lot of families out there. You know, folks that are coming to the food bank, a lot of them are employed. They're just not making it.
Yeah.
One little thing can happen that can really throw off their budget. It could be as simple as a flat tire that can throw off a food budget.
And these are folks, it's not that they don't want to work. They are working, but perhaps they're working at very low-paying jobs, and they got a family, and so they really need the food, the supplement that the Community Food Bank can provide. Now, we were talking right before we went on the air, and I didn't realize that, you know, we've got this huge produce that comes across the border. It's a huge industry down in Nogales, Arizona. How is the food bank partnering with these produce companies?
Well, in the effort to provide healthier choices for our clients, we're fortunate that we're right here at the border. We're close to the border. And the Nogales Port of Entry is the second largest port of entry for produce in this country. So there's probably, it's estimated there's like 6 billion pounds where the bee comes through that port.
Whoa.
And a lot of it never makes it to the grocery store. I mean, it gets
for
to the,
one reason or another, the flow, sometimes they need more tomatoes, sometimes they don't.
Right.
So rather than go to the landfill, it's going to go to you.
Yeah, we've got now a team down there that's really doing a full court press on trying to talk to all the produce houses to let them know that we're available to take that. And so far since December, we've rescued over 20 million pounds of produce.
Whoa. And so you've got trucks probably going back and forth bringing this stuff up. So they'll call you and say, look, we've got a huge load here that we're not going to need.
Right. Can you get it? Can you facilitate getting it? So between us, St. Mary's Food Bank in Phoenix, and the Arizona Association of Food Banks, we have a fleet of trucks, semis, and we hustle them down to the port of entry and get them out. So we'll distribute them all over the state. We'll take what we need here, get it out to the rural areas in Wilcox, then it heads up towards Phoenix, Flagstaff. On occasion, we've even called the Albuquerque Food Bank, the Roadrunner Food Bank, and say, we'll meet you in Lordsburg if you need, if you need watermelons.
We'll meet you in Silver City, right?
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So let's again go over some of the nuts and bolts of the Saturday, May 13th, this Saturday, the annual Stamp Out Hunger food drive. So what should people remember now, Lou?
So look for your bag. It's coming. The bags were provided by TEP, so they'll be showing up in your mailbox Thursday or Friday. There's also a reminder postcard from the post office reminding you about the food drive. Just put in non-perishable food items in your bag. Set it out before your mail carrier arrives at whatever time he comes to your door, and they'll pick it up. And you can continue to donate because we do get food coming in for a couple weeks afterwards. People see their bag and go, oh, and they'll still pull it out. The letter carriers are phenomenal. They'll take it.
Oh, really? So, okay, that's great. And be careful about glass containers.
Glass.
Anything that will
chocolate melt.
Chocolate.
Exactly.
Oh, I've got that Snickers candy. But no, keep the candy bar out of it.
Yeah,
anyway,
it'd be a mess.
And let's talk about a website, too. That
You can donate at communityfoodbank.org. There's a Stamp Out Hunger icon that you can get to, and you can donate online, or you can put a check in one of the envelopes that we've provided. And the letter carriers are just so good at making sure that we get all that. And then we'll count it all up, and hopefully sometime next week we'll be able to provide a number. Hopefully we'll hit that 300,000 pound mark.
I will keep my fingers crossed. Lou Medrin, always a pleasure. You do such a great job over at the food bank. They are very fortunate to have a man of your caliber.
Thank you. Thanks,
you really
appreciate it. Thank you.
You
very
really
much.
Are. This portion of Buckmaster presented by my friends over at Green Things. They do such a great job. Speaking of kind of produce, Lou, this keeps
right.
kind of keeping with that. That's but right. 3384 East River Road. Just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, Jan and Jack, the owners there, they took an initial 4 acres. They've expanded that property now to 13. It's
wow.
a beautiful property
wow.
along the Rito River over there. Anything you can think of to do with gardening, they've
got
you
it.
Covered. They got
Fantastic.
You covered. So I strongly recommend going to greenthingsaz.com. We'll be right back with Congressman Tom O'Halloran right after this. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 1 o'clock, 12 minutes now before 1 here in Tucson. Congressman, United States District Number 1, Congressman Tom O'Halloran, Democrat with us on the live line from Washington. Congressman, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, and it's very serendipitous to have you on the program today because so much happening over the last 12 hours or so with Donald Trump, President Trump, in effect firing the head of the FBI. What is your reaction?
Well, you know, my main concern is that we should continue to investigate the process. The president has a right to do what he did, but I hope his motives were appropriate. Unless you're in that office, you don't know. But I'm calling for a special investigation. There's way too much politics involved in this process, whether it's at the executive branch level or the congressional level. And having been an investigator in the past, I think what we really need to do is allow the investigative process to work through this stuff. And all these hearings are more politics than they are real investigation.
It seems like most of the congressional delegation from Arizona seems to be on the same page about this firing. What do you think the reason is? President Trump has said that that Comey was not doing a good job. What do you understand the reason is?
Well, I really don't know. I can't read the president's mind in his letter. He mentioned a couple of things, but I don't, you know, when you have 20,000 agents and you're investigating all these other issues also, that's where the work goes on day in and day out, and those 20,000 agents are working for the American public. And I hadn't heard of anything other than the political chatter that it would indicate that the director was doing anything inappropriate with the FBI.
This health care plan that passed Congress, was that troubling to you, Congressman?
I think it's always troubling. I voted against it. I think it's troubling when we see something being pushed through that needs a thorough analysis. You know, we all understand that there's problems with the Affordable Care Act and that changes needed to be made. But those changes should be made based on a complete analysis of the cost drivers of the system, bringing in the appropriate experts and having a much more transparent system. And that just has not happened in this case. And I think we need to make sure that people take their time, analyze it. This is an important aspect for both the lives of our citizens and for the economy.
You've got a huge district all the way from Marana to Oro Valley and up to Flagstaff and beyond. There's some quite a few elderly people in that district. How would they be impacted if this particular House bill became law?
Well, on the Medicaid side of the equation, of course, we have a lot of people in that 55 to 65 age group that are in Medicaid, and that they would be hurt badly. On the cost side, the direct cost for elderly on Medicaid would go up. There would be an impact financially on the Medicare system. It doesn't make any sense to me at all that in a healthcare system that is underfunded in the first place, that's part of the problem. I mean, we have doctors leaving the system because they're not being reimbursed enough to keep their doors open, and yet we're willing to take $800 billion over the next 10 years out of the system. That math just doesn't work out, and and then pre-existing conditions, which the elderly have a lot of pre-existing conditions.
No kidding.
That issue is really important for the elderly, and sadly for younger people that have to live out their long lives, hopefully, with the burden of not knowing whether they're going to have insurance or not. And this is something, the pre-existing conditions is something that the vast majority of the American public wants to be kept in there, and they want it to be kept in so that it's a permanent process, not, oh, well, if you miss your... You miss it, you're not going to be able to be on it until the next year. You know, people die in that period of time. Mm-hmm. And so this is important.
Let's go to the live line. Caller Jim is with us, Jim Kelly. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I am well. Congressman Howland, please explain to me what is being taken away from pre-existing conditions. How is pre-existing conditions being being a factor here when what we're talking about is, you know, most states already have it within their law that somebody cannot be denied coverage because of a pre-existing condition. So, you know, what are we looking at here? That if somebody lets their insurance lapse for more than 63 days, then pre-existing conditions can kick in? Is it about the waivers that states can apply for? Where in the bill is anything that covers pre-existing conditions being taken away?
Well, the risk pools are being funded in part by the federal government. That funding is susceptible to if the state says that they can't handle it, there's not additional funding to keep that risk pool up and going. It's been identified by both conservative and progressive groups across the nation that the $8 billion that has been put into this bill is not enough, even on top of the $132 billion that's being put into the bill over a period of time. And it's a costly process, and we know it's a costly process. But the idea that the state of Arizona doesn't have a risk pool, many states don't have risk pools, and you can have any law you want in the books, but unless you can fund it and have the appropriate amount of funding in there, it's not going to be effective.
Are you concerned, changing topics here, I want to talk about these national monuments that are being under review by the Trump administration going back to 1992, and that's important because Arizona's got a bunch of them.
Well, they do, and there's four, basically, and two of them, four that are going to be looked at. Two of them are in my district. One is the Vermilion Cliffs, and another one is in the area up around the Grand Canyon. And both of these national monuments are important national monuments for preservation of our watershed around the Grand Canyon area, and specifically about in dealing with artifacts from the heritage of the Native American tribes. And then the Vermilion Cliffs is, and both of them are some of the largest tour attractions and money, bringing in money into the state through tourism that we have. And of course, the Vermilion Cliffs, I've never heard of anybody complain that that's a national monument or identify it as something that shouldn't be preserved for future generations. And one of the biggest aspects of this is a misperception that there is no vote, obviously, on whether a monument is approved or not. That's the president's choice. But there is extensive outreach and in the process, the entire process. Some of these processes go on for multiple years in order for the appropriate amount of public outreach and review of the process to be effective. So the idea that these are just off of the top of somebody's head is just not true.
I wanted to also touch on an effort to possibly undo the Paris Climate Accord. You don't think that would be a good idea, I assume.
I don't. I think that what we've seen, you know, when you have 97% of scientists in the world, actually almost 99% of scientists in the world indicate that we are going through a climatic change. You know, I don't think anybody can say if it's within the next 100 years or 200 years, but they have a direct correlation between CO2 emissions and the changing in our atmosphere. And, you know, when somebody sends a red flag up like that, and we have other indicators whether it's melting ice glaciers or ice caps, or whether we have drilling going back 10,000 years or so, that shows that the CO2 level hasn't been at this level for that amount of time, and these could be historic levels, that we our direction should be one of caution, because you just don't turn that around. And if we are having that type of impact, and most scientists feel that we do, we need to go into this in the appropriate way. And, you know, we're heading in the right direction anyway. Natural gas is 50% of the emissions. 50% of what coal emissions are. And then we have renewables that are going online. And, hydroelectric, our country has tremendous hydroelectric resources also. And hopefully, if we can find a cleaner way to deal with the other elements, the carbon elements that we have a tremendous amount of, then we should do that and make those cleaner. But right now, we don't have that availability.
All right. Representative O'Halloran, thank you for spending some time with us. Appreciate it very much.
My pleasure, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Tom O'Halloran with us on The Buckmaster Show. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Mike is the host of the show, and he is assisted by Ray Allen. Today, that will be at 4 to 5. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9. Me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow. We'll be speaking with a congressional candidate who is challenging Martha McSally. Bruce Wheeler will be with us. He'll explain his motivation for getting in, throwing his hat in the ring. How's that for a political cliche that still works anyway? Coming up this afternoon, hope you have a great day. We've got Michael Medved next. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.